It is time to bring in Dr. Judy Wertman. It is time for Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning to both of you. And it does indeed sound like a lovely day. I think we should really cherish each one of them in October because November never is that way.
Because we know what's coming. But, you know, it's so interesting because when the high is like 62, you know that it's not quite the same as when the high is 68.
I know. And all of a sudden, the sweaters become very important in one's wardrobe.
Yes, it's time for that change. All right, so you are going to talk about two pandemics colliding. And it's interesting. They're quiet whispers about what you're talking about, but not enough. This really needs to be pounded, no pun intended, home.
Yes, you know, obviously, because I've done so many years of work in obesity, I've been certainly aware of what has been very loosely called a pandemic. And I only say that word because now that we're in what I would really consider a real pandemic in the sense that we are all of us at risk for catching what is going around, which is COVID-19. Obesity does not seem to be something that one can really catch. But obesity is what has been called the first pandemic, certainly in our recent life. And the effect of that, the combination of both being obesity and the possibility of being exposed to the virus can be deadly. People have suggested this from the very beginning when we knew about the virus making its way through the United States. And the early signs of really severe sickness among otherwise healthy people who were infected with the virus pointed to just one factor only, and that was that they were obese. And obesity, just for anybody who might be interested in, if you want to look up your BMI, which is an indication of obesity, there are many, many websites that will do it for you in about 3 milliseconds, so you don't have to get out your calculator or remember what, fourth grade, arithmetic was when you're converting pounds to kilograms or something. But the one thing that has come clear is that if you are obese, certainly if you are morbidly obese, and even if you are overweight, the chances of you being seriously sick with the virus, it goes up enormously. And people really didn't understand why. First they thought it was because, well, people who are obese tend to have underlying heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, their circulation isn't that good, their immune system may be affected. So clearly they're just not healthy. And people who aren't healthy obviously may not do as well if exposed to the virus as people who are. But it turns out that's not really the only issue here. The way the virus works, one of the things it does is to affect the clotting of the blood. And I didn't realize this, but if you are obese, your blood has a tendency to clot much more easily. Having little tiny blood clots that may go to the lungs, and they're called emboli, and really cause a serious problem. Apparently, if you have the virus, the chance of blood clots being formed increases very rapidly, and the combination of the blood clot tendency from being obese and the virus, makes you sort of a sitting duck for blood clots. The other thing is that if you are obese, and people who have obesity are aware of this, Their diaphragm, which is a great big muscle above their stomach, sort of pushes up on their lungs. And the lower part of the lung is where more of the blood is oxygenated than higher up, I guess, towards your neck. And this means that your lung capacity is decreased. You see people who are obese tend to breathe very rapidly because they're not getting enough oxygen. Okay, so then you get a virus that's affecting your lungs, and there you are. You may be on a ventilator. In fact, people who are obese are much, much more likely to have to be taken into the ICU, the intensive care unit, and ventilated, and put on a ventilator, which is, scary and, not a very good prognosis indicator. And finally, also your immune system is compromised, apparently, with obesity. There are these substances called cytokines that are released when you have an infection, sometimes with certain kinds of diseases like psoriasis, for example. These cytokines just are released because your body doesn't know how to deal with them. and they cause destruction. I mean, with something like psoriasis, they cause terrible rashes. Well, the virus also releases these cytokines. And so, again, you have a bad situation with obesity in terms of your health, a much worse situation if you get infected with the virus. And the problem is, what do you do about it? You know, it's one thing for me to sort of stand here and talk about it, but what do you do about it? Because the people right now who are obese are not getting the kind of help that they might otherwise. You know, they're not going for casual appointments with their primary care doctor because nobody is. You go if you really need to see a doctor, but they're still trying to restrict the number of people who go into a medical facility or a medical office building. The support, you know, the group support meetings just don't exist. Zoom is a substitute, but not a very good substitute. You're sitting at home alone. You may be isolated because you're obese already. You're not walking. And then you may fear walking even more because you're going to be outside and who knows who's going to be passing you by without a mask on. You're stressed. You know, overeating due to emotional problems is certainly a major characteristic of people who are obese, and many of us who aren't. So people are isolated who really need help. And finally, Jill, who are the we who needs this? Who are the people who need this? Well, the frightening statistics is that about 40%, almost 40% of Americans are obese, and about 40% of Americans are overweight. It doesn't leave too many people who aren't. And so it's us that we should be worrying about. And we should be doing as much as we can to make sure that we are not gaining weight and that we are trying in any way possible to eat healthy, get a little bit of exercise, and to try to lose some weight.
Do people partner up? I'm just curious. You know, it's sort of, it's almost a sponsor model. It's like during
like a Alcoholic Anonymous meeting, where
but a very small one. It's like really more like twinning up because I just. You know, it's private. What people do are private. So, you know, it's like if you have a friend, I guess what I'm wondering is, like, if I wanted to lose some weight and I was, you know, big, I might find another friend who wanted to do the same. Under the circumstances, it's sort of a COVID method. And just see if between the two of us we could...
Encourage
each other just to, you know, to try. It doesn't work in big settings. Finally, I've been waiting and waiting for people to realize that, you know, Zoom is great if you're locked up, but it lacks a certain je ne sais quoi when you are trying to actually interact and get a rhythm going because it's not the real thing. But
no, you're right. I think if you could FaceTime a friend or go for a walk with social distancing and masks and what have you, when the weather allows you to do that, and most of the days even when it's cold, you still can do that. And maybe you share recipes, share entertainments, because it's the loneliness that draws people to eat.
You could scheme about things to do or things to cook, or it's like, all right, you ready to try that squid you were never going to try? I mean, there are just, I just believe it could be less.
I think you're right. That's exactly what should happen. And maybe this is a reason for looking for one-on-one as opposed to thinking you have to go to a large group meeting in order to be helped. And I think online help is only so good as the people who are delivering it, and they're delivering it to hundreds of people. They're not delivering it to you personally. You're right. If you can find somebody who wants to lose weight with you, that it could be, you know, somebody in your household, that is really the best idea. And the point is you have to do it now.
Right.
You know,
it has to.
This is all over because you may be all over at that point.
Well, I also know Marshall chose at the in April, Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
To reverse the pandemic diet, so to speak, because he always goes against the. I'm teasing. He goes against the grain, right? He's our counter, Mr. Counter. And so he decided to lose weight during the pandemic while everybody else in the free world apparently was gaining it.
That's exactly right. And again, I know of a doctor who was a woman overweight, and she has grandchildren that she wants to see. And she thought if She deliberately put herself on a very strict diet, lost 30 pounds in about 2 months, and because she wanted to make sure that she would not get sick and die. And she knew that the chances were really much better than for somebody who has a normal weight. I mean, it's not something we can fool around with, just ignore. It's with us. And most of us are vulnerable.
It's just about vegetables. In 5 months, I've lost right around 50 pounds doing this and eating 3 square meals a day, just that they're at different times than I did before. But you know what we really need in this country? Bill Maher has said it, and a lot of other people have said it. We need a healthcare system that takes anybody who is overweight, that has problems with their weight, or anybody who, by the way, is not heavy enough. With telemedicine now, you should make it so it's a covered service, because nothing works better than speaking to somebody like a dietitian once a week, going over what you've done, what you've got come up. That should all be included in your health care, and you'd be surprised. It wouldn't solve everybody's problem, but it would probably solve about 40% of the overweight problems in this country.
You're right, and Marshall, you know, sometimes it's not even what the dietitian says; it's the fact that you're talking to somebody.
Yeah, you're talking to somebody, and you're going over things. You're looking back at the past week or the past month and looking ahead for the next month. It makes a big difference. It does.
And somebody there can say, hey, you know, you're depressed, you're anxious, you're angry. Let's deal with these things also, because if we don't, you're not going to be able to lose weight. Somebody there to be there for you. Yeah. Well, maybe this will be a wake-up call.
Well, I'm going to advocate for twinning up rather than trying to do some sort of massive group thing.
But both. You know, some people need to have the structure of person looking at what they're eating, and other people need to have just a warm heart and a good voice, you know, to say, yeah, we're in it together. And maybe some people need both. But you can't do it alone. Almost impossible. And you have to have something else to do other than just wait until your next meal is coming.
That is true. Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Whitman.
Okay, talk next week. Bye-bye.
Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy, of course, every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio and on demand, robinhoodradio.com on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Whitman.